Welcome to Karate in the Garage. I'm Corey Culp.
Freddie Woff.
It's April 1st.
April Fools.
And we got nothing to fool you with.
Oh, we do, or do we? Everything we say is probably going to be a fucking lie or a joke.
Yeah, our fool came early. Like, we don't have an extra episode of March Madness.
That was our thing, yeah. Well, maybe we did. We did four. You got all of, you know, who cares? Maybe the last one was so bad. Maybe it's joining Silver Bullet in the locker of hell. No. Or not. You never know.
It's still on the calendar.
I think it would have been so bad we would have not aired it anyway. Did you get through the movie?
No, I didn't watch it because I thought we were going to commentary on it.
I did too, but then once my work, you know, once everything happened, I was right. Like, let me just at least give it a fuck. And I was like, oh, yeah, it would have been a commentary, but I think it would have been something.
Would have just been a series of us going, what the fuck is going on?
Or like, one of us saying, let's just turn this shit off.
Most likely. Happened before ever in the history of the show.
I mean, like I'm saying, if we couldn't get through Cliffhanger, I don't know that we could have, that this
my thing God
had much of a chance. Did I just say that?
Cliffhanger? Yeah. Hey, speaking of Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Cutthroat Island Steelbook hits Walmart on Tuesday.
Dude, and why would you mention those two things? Is there some common thread there?
Yeah, it's got a rad cover.
There you go. And they both, neither, and only one has Gina Davis in it. Wait, it's Rennie Harlan.
It's Rennie Harlan, director.
Yeah, man, this is when Rennie, that was Rennie. Like, I feel like that was the, was Cutthroat after A Long Kiss Goodnight?
No, 95.
It was the year before.
Yeah.
This is Rennie, like, on his run that started with one of those Elm Street movies. And
yeah.
Saw Ford Fairlane. The 90s were good to Rennie.
Yeah. Seriously. And he had a good run with his marriage.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever, man. Die Hard 2. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so we never covered Cutthroat Island, but I've seen it since we first found out this was going to hit a 4K steelbook. And I'm telling you now, I think I might have said it. My memory of it when we did Long Kiss Goodnight, that I enjoyed it. I remember being, hey, look, it's a pirate movie. No one was expecting it. Had this come out after Pirates of the Caribbean, they would have said, oh, it's a knockoff, but people would have seen it and enjoyed it. I don't think it is.
You're going to stand down on that?
Not only what? I love the movie.
No, you do still like it.
I still love it.
Okay. I thought you were flip-flopping. I thought you were Jed the Fish for a moment.
No, I'm not Jed fishing it. No, I love the fuck out of it. In fact, I might like it more because it's one of those ones where you just think that you're going, even though you liked it, you let the history of people kind of taking a shit on it chip away at your memory of it. And I watch it again. I'm like, no, this fucking movie's rad. I'm buying this steelbook when it comes out.
Dude, I would double feature that and Pirates with Walter Matthau together as pirate movies that I enjoy that I shouldn't probably enjoy or that most people don't. I don't know why, but I mean, they both always just hit the mark for me for some fucking reason. I don't know. Some weird.
No, wait, that movie's rad.
Yeah, I know.
I loved it.
Yeah, Charlotte Lewis. Fresh from the Golden Child, or maybe, yeah. And Matthau at his crustiest best. And Long Kiss Goodnight, dude. Or not Long Kiss. The Cutthroat Island has every fucking thing that you would want in a pirate movie.
Yep. I'm looking forward to the rest of the thing coming out as far as like all the extras. It's got a lot of stuff on it. I think there's like a lot of extras. I'm just going to assume it's probably from the days of shit. I don't know. It's got a lot of stuff on it.
Were most people upset? Like, I mean, what was the big complaint that Matthew Modine was in it? I don't really remember why people shit all over it, except for maybe, I don't know. I don't know why.
If there was a knock, and I'm using finger quotes here, if there was a knock to it, if you see that Matthew Modine is in this movie.
He's good in it. He's great in it.
Yeah, yeah. And you come away with it feeling like he was miscast. If you don't feel he's miscast before you watch the movie, then you can't come away and complain about it because he's Matthew Modine in it.
Right.
With a little bit longer hair.
He's doing all the stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. He's not anywhere. I mean, he's as good as Orlando Bloom is in Pirates of the Caribbean.
And, you know, once you've seen this again after, here's the thing. I don't think it's much of a stretch to say you probably, people probably haven't seen it, but they probably have seen, more likely have seen Long Kiss Goodnight. This lets you know that Geena Davis can do that kind of movie. And I said it during the Goodnight episode. I don't think we get what we get out of her with Goodnight unless she does this movie. Just a different, I think she just knew she could pull this off with Long Kiss Goodnight because I honestly don't think she would have done it. It's not her kind of movie, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. If you look at her 90s career, she's kind of all over the place with what she did, you know, Speechless. Well,
how many action movies did she do that weren't these two movies?
I don't know that, I'm just saying, I don't think she like was a person who got trapped in a doing the same thing over and over movie.
No, but she's done like roles.
And she did The Fly and she did, you know, I mean, if you look at those, when are we starting?
I don't know, but I'll say this.
Thelma and Louise.
Thelma
and Louise in action movie?
No. What was that? But that was pre-90s. I don't know.
No, it was 90s.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 89.
No. It's like 93, 92, something like that.
See, when it comes to Ridley, I'm fucking kind of whatever.
They
91,
just seem like,
that's no. why I was just like snuck
89
in.
89 for Ridley is Black Rain.
Yeah. Yeah, Kelly Curry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Geena Davis's career always seemed weird to me because she always was doing something different and never, I don't know. I felt like she never really... She has those iconic moments, but like she didn't revisit that role. So it's like, it's hard, you know, to look back at her career and be like, what is her career? You know, The League of Their Own and then, you know, Speechless.
Well, Hero was when I was at my mom's.
Hero, was a hero? In a, yeah, Hero's her,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when Stephen Frears.
I was at my mom's just kind of hanging out. My dad's birthday was Friday, so just kind of hanging out with her. Being the good son kind of thing. And we were watching something. One of those, that's when I had the discovery that I was talking to you about all those free LG movie channels that like a lot of TV manufacturers have. And basically, it's just kind of like a roundabout Pluto, Tubi kind of thing. And we were watching one of the movie channels that has ads and they had a commercial for Hero. And I'm like, oh man, I haven't seen that movie in ages. My mom had never seen it. We didn't watch it, but it was just like, I thought it was interesting that somebody was actually streaming it. I'm like, well, I have to see if I can pick that up at home. Because I remember liking it a lot, even though I'm not the biggest Dustin Hoffman fan. I remember liking the movie a lot.
It's on Hulu.
Oh, look, there you go.
Yeah.
But maybe I almost feel like I need to watch. I think the last time I saw the movie was on LaserDisc on a rental.
I think the last time I saw it was in theater. Yeah.
I think just the last time I saw it was on Laser, which tells you.
No, I mean, I think I saw it in a theater because of Geena Davis and Andy Garcia.
Yeah.
At the time.
It was like, when also he, to a lesser extent, you know, I think, was that the first thing Dustin did after Rain Man?
No, Billy Bathgate.
Really?
This was the first thing he did after Billy Bathgate.
I just so like...
You tried to forget Billy Bathgate, you and the rest of the world.
Yeah, you tried to.
I mean, no, the thing is, most people have forgotten about it.
Oh my gosh. No, dude, he did one other one too. He did Hook.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I've never seen Hook.
Yeah, we've talked about that. It's okay. I'm almost positive that if I watch it again, my okay status will get greatly diminished. And I'm like, let's just leave it where it's at. I don't want to watch a movie that I'm almost positive is going to ruin my memory of it. I just won't do it because my memory of it isn't all that great to begin with. I thought it would, because every time we're having some great moments, because the thing about it is Dustin Hoffman completely channels what's his face from the live action Peter Pan that we've known for years. I mean, like the epitome, the greatest performance that's ever happened in that part. And I'm blanking on his name. I'm fucking dummy. But if you know what I'm talking, if you watched it when you were younger, you know what I'm talking about.
Talking about the animated one.
No, the animated one's great. I don't have any problem with that. But I'm talking about the greatest like live action performance was that live television event. But every time Dustin Hoffman's having a great Hook moment, or Bob Hoskins was having a great Smeed moment, there is Julia Roberts there to fucking ruin it all. Just to pop in and be Tinkerbell and suck at it and then fly away. So
yeah, it's funny. I just never, that to me, that seemed like a weirdly, the most studio movie that could ever be made, or, you know, Prisoner of the Moment kind of, I don't know. I just never saw it.
Right.
You know, and in hindsight, I wish I'd have seen it then, because I don't know that I can watch it without any sort of weird, you know, like now I just don't care. I mean, it's never been on my radar. I would, if I saw this, I'd have to go see it like at the Egyptian or something. You know, a big room, I would imagine, because I'm sure it's visually amazing. Also, you know, I feel like there's two movies that people love that I haven't seen, and they're very similar for some reason. Maybe it's The Pirate Ship, but I've also never seen Goonies.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to say, those two movies, they're holes in that part for me. Like, but I never have a desire to see either one of them.
Yeah,
well, but man, I do like man. Hoffman. I'm not a Dustin Hoffman detractor. Dude, Tootsie is one of my favorite movies of all time. As is Kramer versus Kramer.
Fucking Tootsie's brilliant.
And Ishtar.
There was one movie right after Rain Man, and I can't believe we forget it, because I don't think we've ever
Family
mentioned
Business
it on
this show. With Sidney Lumet's Family Business?
Yes.
Dude, I actually fucking...
I do,
except
but it's
for
like...
Except for the fact to try to believe that any of those guys are related,
my God,
it's tough.
It's just the age thing alone. Even when that movie came out, what was I, 20 years old when the movie... that year I turned 20. I don't think I was even 20 when this thing came out. But I remember looking at the trailer for it, I'm like, wait, are Dustin Hoffman and Sean Connery that far apart in age? They can't be. I think they're brother age, aren't they?
Yes. No, they're like the same age. I feel like they're pretty, I think
that doesn't mean they're brothers. The age of the brothers would be. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I just for clarification, Sean Connery was born in 1930.
Yeah. Hoffman's born in 37. So he's like 7 years older. Start early back in the
yeah,
day.
Dude. This is brother age.
So, here's the thing. The thing that is, you know, you could, I see, but I don't think the movie is bad once you get past that. It's, you know, it's your typical crime kind of vibe. It's just weird. The reason I think I like it so much is the novel by Vincent Patrick. Vincent Patrick also wrote one of my all-time favorite movies. He wrote the book for Pope and Greenwich Village as well.
In Devil's Own is also, which is...
Yeah.
I think we almost covered that. When were you...
Yeah, we were going to cover it, I think, during... Wasn't it during the Boys of Summer? It was like, did we pick something?
I think that was the one we threw out there, and I'm like... And I think we both said, like, all right, which is the one that people are really going to be drawn to?
I think, and after watching What Lies Beneath, I was wishing that we had watched The Devil's Own, or 6 Days, 7 Nights.
I think Devil's Own was a release thing too.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was in March. It was in March of 97.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't a summer movie. So as they say.
Yeah.
In the true sense. Oh, I didn't realize Vincent Patrick passed away last year.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, October.
He was no spring chicken.
No. Look. Yeah. So anyway, that's weird and crazy. Yeah. But yes, now we've gone down a Dustin Hoffman rabbit hole. What are we doing? Where is this show going?
I'll break it up for you real quick. Stigmata comes out on Blu-ray.
Stigmata.
This is not that special edition thing we talked about back when we covered the movie.
Not the Shout one.
No. This is a brand new release from MPI.
Ooh.
There's even a media book version of it too.
Hey, there you go.
Unfortunately, there is nothing on the back of the thing for us to identify what it is. I even did my due diligence and went to MPI Media Group's website. There is no detail other than its release date and the rundown, the synopsis, but no details of anything other than that it's 1080p and that it's Dolby digital sound. I don't know. It doesn't even say anything. It doesn't even say who's in the movie. So fingers crossed. But it's using the same cover that what was it? Was it Imprint? Who the fuck put out the other one?
That just
came out like November or something like that.
Oh, was it? Yeah, it was Imprint, I think.
There was one December 15th, 2023. And it has this white cover. Oh, Umbrella. It was an umbrella release. Remember we talked about
right.
this?
Right. We talked
about in the episode that it was coming.
Right.
But it was some small company. We had no idea what was going to happen with it.
Right.
It sold for $37.10. Good luck getting that one. The other one's coming out. But again, even this posting here, and it's being sold by Amazon, by the way. Remember we thought it was weird that like some small company like that, oh, we're never going to see this unless we order directly from them. Fucking Amazon themselves is selling it. So...
There.
I'm glad I didn't see that because I probably would have ordered.
Dude, yeah, right? No kidding.
Whoopsie.
Whoopsies.
I've already pre-ordered the one that's coming out on Tuesday. And it's coming from Amazon, so not Walmart. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be coming out.
You probably get it today.
Maybe. Maybe the holiday messed things up.
Today being Monday.
Yeah.
Not today being record day.
No, I knew what you meant. Because it's Easter today that we're recording.
Sure. Easter. Nas. Hop Feratu is in full effect.
Uh-huh.
Rabbit creeping around your house, dropping eggs in the morning.
Yeah, the rabbit from Joe Dante's segment of the Twilight Zone, the movie.
That motherfucker.
Oh my gosh, what a great build. That's one of my most all-time favorite like characters. Like, and I know it doesn't do much, kind of just because it just rises, but the way that you made it shake, it gave it such life, even though it really wasn't like fully animatronic.
Yeah, no. Dude, that, you know, look, fucking... Send him to the cornfield, right?
Yep.
To the cornfield with you, motherfucker. Anthony, you're such a great kid. I love you. Oh, golly.
Speaking of Hogan's family.
Speaking of the Hogans.
Yeah. And I'll leave that out there. You guys can figure out why that was the reference to that.
Leave it out there.
But I have to say, when Twilight Zone the movie came out, even my dad was like, you know, like most adults when it came out, were kind of poo-pooing it. I wasn't of an age to poo-poo it. But you realize... how challenging it is to try to recreate.
Hey man,
you know any of those episodes?
I don't think it's that bad, dude. I think three of the four are great.
The
cold open and the closer are great.
Yeah,
it's just the unfortunate accident.
It carries that awfulness with it wherever it goes.
It's just it's the scarlet letter on the movie.
Yeah,
the rest of it, you know, most people I know. Either never saw it because of that, or they just couldn't get past, I don't know, whatever it was. To me, it's like something that, it's super fun if you just fast forward through, if you just skip through that one episode. It's real hard to watch knowing the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. The cold open is, or I guess they call it the prologue, right?
Yep. The prologue and the epilogue.
I mean, for how long did... you run around saying...
Want to see something really scary?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, dude. And plus, it's Albert Brooks and fucking Dan Aykroyd in the same fucking frame together.
Two most unassuming people at the moment.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
you never saw it coming.
Yeah. And then what's funny was I remember when Ghostbusters, the first Ghostbusters trailer came out. And, you know, that's back when there was no runway for it. You saw the trailer, you're like, what the hell was that? When the Ghostbusters trailer aired, or you saw it for the first time. It was both, you bought Dan Aykroyd being in a movie like that because of the opening and the closer of the Twilight Zone movie. So just the year before. So it made a lot of this. It was an easy transition for me. But I agree, dude. Every one of the episodes... of the show that they took from Joe Dante's, I want to say it's my favorite. I don't want to say it's the favorite. The George Miller one's pretty fucking great, but it might be one of my favorite episodes of the original show. And to be able to make it his own, and when I say make it his own, I mean that feels like a Joe Dante episode of Twilight Zone. There's nothing about it that even says that he was, I mean, he was still loyal to the work, but he still put his spin on it. And it's the same thing that Spielberg did.
Right, dude, because is that the most Spielberg? I mean, it's funny, back. I feel like without Kick the Can, there's no Cocoon.
Right? It's hard not to think the two things can exist without the other one. It's like, I agree. It's funny how that is. One of the things is like, I don't think we ever talk about him on the show because it automatically takes us to that place. But Vic Morrow is somebody that I really don't think we covered him in any movie, have we?
No, but dude, like, you know, it's funny is I always just associate him with Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
Like if, you know, I mean, he's in tons of stuff and, you know, he's Jennifer Jason Leigh's father, all the things. But when I see him, dude, he's just that dickhead coach from Bad News Bears, man.
And he's not, and it's the thing is like, he's great at it. And I'm almost positive this is something we talked about. It's somewhere along the way where Bad News Bears came up about the realism of that movie and how, it just feels real because we grew up in Little League at that window of time.
Yeah.
And watching an asshole dad smack his kid on the mound, I can't say I didn't see something like that happen before.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was it's one of those movies that it is not a kid's movie. I think we talked about this at one point, the on mic about Bad News Bears, about how there's this perception it's a kid's movie. It's not. In fact, I don't think many kids should be seen of a certain age because, one, this movie doesn't get made today. We know that because even, 13 years ago?
The Linklater version.
Billy Bob one.
That was like 20 years ago almost.
20 years ago? Jesus
Christ. I think it was like 2005
I never saw it. I like Billy Bob. At least in that time frame, I was fine with anything Billy Bob did. But to me, that... And I know it sounds funny to say this, but for me, Bad News, I was already like in Bad News Bear. It was already part of my vocabulary before Star Wars came out, you know? And so it's for...
It was sacrilegious, man.
Yeah.
2005, by the way.
And you couldn't do what they did in the original. And that wasn't the shock and awe of it, of the, you know, having these kids be all foul-mouthed and, you know, Tanner's racist. I think it spoke more to who the country was at the time. The kids were kind of representing like certain adult, what's the best word of saying it? The types of adults you would run into in the 70s. And at least that was my experience growing up. I mean, I recognize it. It was almost like a reference point for me when I run into adults like that all the way up until I turned 10. I could see those kinds of people. Now, granted, I didn't see anybody pull a Vic Morrow and smack their kid on the mound, but you know, I've seen enough grabbing them by the shoulders and kind of shaking them.
I saw all that shit, dude. I saw people get smacked. I fucking saw kids get yanked. Fucking, you know, not, you know, my buddies. My dad was never like that, but, you know, thank God.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's funny, man. Michael Ritchie, man, who directed it, made a lot of really interesting, I don't want to say satire, but they were very, satire's not the right word, but, you know, his films sort of, on the surface, seem light and engaging, and then you know, there's a lot to say, you know,
about. I agree.
Not only the country, but just, you know, well, I guess, you know, about the way things were, and you know how people try to put up fronts. Interesting, right? It was an interesting movie. Like Bad News Bears is a movie I would like to. I'm gonna maybe revisit it. I haven't watched it in a few years,
man.
But every baseball season, I think about watching it.
Yeah.
For some reason, because it's not even really about baseball.
No, it's not.
It's about deadbeat dads.
Yes, it really is. It really is. And it's just about even adult men just being super selfish. I mean, Walter Matthau's not really he takes in a father figure, right, to Tatum. But, you know, the last time he saw Tatum was Walter Matthau was dating her mom.
Sure.
So we already know what kind of a dick he is. But we've talked about enough Richie stuff. We've talked about Semi Tough. We've talked about, actually, I think we get into Downhill Racer.
We've talked about a lot of Wildcats. Stuff.
These are all things that we've like touched on. Yeah. And you literally just mentioned Golden Child how long ago? Yeah. Like about 15 minutes ago?
15, if that.
Yeah. His catalog is, speaking of a creative person who chooses not to do the same shit over and over again, all of his stuff is pretty challenging, you know, as far as like you sit there and don't, if you watch it more than once and kind of cut into it and look under the surface, Survivors, right?
Yeah. Dude, I love Survivors. It's one of my favorites. It's my favorite Robin Williams movie, weirdly enough.
How many times did he work with Matthau? Just these two times?
Nope. Couch Trip.
Holy shit. Forget about Couch Trip.
No, Matthau.
Right. So that's three.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Scout too. Here we go. Look at that. We're on to Albert Brooks. We made another connection.
Yeah, we're on a Michael Ritchie rabbit hole deep dive. Cool Runnings. He wrote the story for Cool Runnings.
Yes. So it's not like we haven't talked about him before. Anyway.
Sure. Well, it happens every time we talk about him. We go down that. Cops and Robertson's, all that shit.
So beep. April.
Digstown.
Yeah, no April fooled this year.
No.
Oh, it depends on how you look at it.
Yes. Depends on how you look at it.
We have a theme. It's already done. We're going to be recording this week. All good. When we get there, we get there. I've already watched the first episode, and we're going to carve out a recording time. We've already started talking about it. So it's because you saw Partial. You have to wrap the movie up again for your review for the show. And this is a good one. I'm looking forward to this month because it's some. I feel like we've been talking about covering these movies for a bit.
We just never knew how to fit them in. So we just fit them all in together. So
we just said, let's just forget. Here's the theme. Yeah. Anyway, you'll discover what that is on Wednesday on Patreon, Friday for the general public.
Yes, you will.
Anyway, I know we were bummed that we didn't get around to do our commentary for the other thing. Maybe it'll come back around, like you said, or maybe.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a bonus, some kind of bonus.
Or maybe, like you said, maybe it is sitting in the vault and you just don't know.
Correct. Yeah. It could be.
I have a time release capsule set up for if something ever happens to one of us, boom.
Yes, there you go.
The original Silver Bull in all 3.5 hours.
All 3.5 hours, so you can listen to it to your heart's content. Hey, man, are you going to talk about this 4K of Major League before we leave?
Oh, we should, because it's not just the lead thing.
We buried the lead.
Buried the lead. Hey, we talked about baseball enough, and I thought I fulfilled it. No, but the 4K from Paramount Pictures for Major League is coming out.
Is it a Walmart exclusive?
It is not. It is a general Paramount Pictures release, not exclusive to them. And if you don't want the Steelbook, there is a standard 4K release with the back of Wild Thing's head.
Right.
Again, not showing, they're skirting the whole, putting somebody's face on the cover kind of thing. You know who it is. You look at the back of it.
You know Rick Vaughn's head when you see it.
You do. I'm not sure if it's really Charlie Sheen, but there you go.
AI.
I think it's a drawing anyway. I think it's an illustration.
Sure. Dude, the Steelbook, I love the Steelbook cover, Serrano's Locker. But you know what's funny? It reminds me a lot of the Steelbook for Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, because that's a great one.
Because it's a locker.
Right. There was something else too that came out that had the locker thing. I want to say it was a 16 Candles thing.
It was one of those. Yeah, you're not wrong. It was one of those. It wasn't Breakfast Club. It was maybe 16 Candles. It's one of those. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a theme they just keep returning to.
Yeah, or stealing.
Roll out those steel books. Do we have any of those steel books from? Let's just recover them.
Stupid.
But this is a good. This one looks great.
And I like the choice too. It's like they know who they're selling to. They're not trying to sell a steel book to a non-fan of Major League.
No, not at all.
You look at this, you go, you know what it is right away.
Yep.
Which I think is great. And he's not even a major character. Oh, he's a major character, but he's not the guy in the poster.
No.
So there's three guys in the poster. Sheen, Burnson, and Tom Berenger. So you got those three guys on the poster.
Dude, there are so many quotable fucking things from Major League. There's just a bit outside. You got Euchre, Serrano. What is the one life lesson you learned from watching Major League?
Don't fuck your teammate's wife.
It's bad to drink Joe Boo's rum. Very bad to drink Joe Boo's rum. That's what I learned. I've never drank Joe Boo's rum.
Yeah. Who's the wife?
Oh, God. I have done. Doran's wife.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Who was Doran's wife?
I don't remember.
I feel like it was Lori Loughlin. No, it wasn't. I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, it's hard because all I remember is Rene Russo. I remember the moment. I remember Rene Russo and Berenger hooking up.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. As many times as I've seen it, I don't remember any of it.
What's your take on Thomas Crown remake?
I don't dislike it.
I think a reason I can say I don't dislike it, it's her. I think it's her.
Yeah, it's not as good as the original for some reason.
No.
But I do like it. I do enjoy it when I watch it, but I haven't seen it. It's not something I go back to. Stacey Carroll was Suzanne Dorn. See, I mean, how would I remember that?
You're not supposed to remember that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't know who his wife was. I do always love it when I'm watching it, when Charles Cypher shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good one, man. This is a, you know, it's a flick. Skip the sequels. They're not good.
No, not even the second one.
No, they're, you know how I love a good number two, but that one's not a good number two.
No.
It's more like a explosion of number two.
That's one that has you. Never mind. I'll just leave that. I'm not going to.
It's just, it's, I don't know. It's just the magic's gone. It's like, to me, it's like they just kind of tried to remake the same movie and it just didn't work the second time around. And the third one, I don't even know that I've ever seen it. I think I just tapped out after the second one. I was like, I wasn't interested.
You know, I completely forgot McTiernan directed that remake of Thomas.
I was going to say it was during what was the other movie? 13th Warrior. I think they came out like the same year.
Really, both? Because 13th Warrior was delayed, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I know. I think they ended up dropping them at this because I think they were both troubled. One of them was a troubled production, possibly 13th Warrior, I guess.
Yeah.
I just remember they came out very close to one another when they came out.
Yeah. Kurt Wimmer, he was one of the co-writers on this. Yeah, the reason why I'm mentioning it is because...
Yeah, you got to cut that out. Sorry.
What?
I just said...
It's been bleeped. I don't want to cut it out. I think it's funnier that it's bleeped.
Just bleep that shit. Bleep, bleep, bleep.
Hey, if you guys want to watch that Thomas Crown Affair remake, it's on Cinemax right now. So anyway.
Yeah, both of them 99. That and the... they're good. There are a lot of good things in this, Thomas Crown Affair. They're, you know, it's just not the original.
And it was nice to see her in that kind of role.
Yeah, and Brosnan's great.
Because we just got done watching... Yeah, we got done watching her for, what, two movies? Yeah, because both Lethal 3 and 4 had already come out at this point.
And Get Shorty.
Yeah, but I mean, which isn't Get Shorty is very similar to what she does in the Lethal Weapon movies. This is the first time they kind of like were intentionally going... They treated her like not a sex symbol, but she was... her character was of a certain... promiscuous nature had a, you know what I mean? She was, I just felt they dressed her up and made her a little bit hotter than she was in those other movies.
Sure.
She's much more dolled up than she is in Buddy.
Yeah. It's funny because like she's, you know, I felt like that was a very, they glammed her up for Thomas Crown for sure.
Yeah.
Which is funny because she was a model.
You want to see another great Rene Russo turn? Watch her in Nightcrawler. Oh my God. She's so fucking great.
Dude, she's always good. I mean, I can't Ransom. Think of anything I didn't.
Give me back my son.
I can't watch Ransom, but yeah, she's good.
No, not now.
No, not even then. I couldn't watch it. It was just like so,
It's so not made for you.
No.
That's what's so funny about it.
It's so not. Yeesh. I just want to lobby for one of these boutique companies to put Cocoon out on a Blu-ray, please. I mean, it's probably Ron Howard's best movie. Now that you've brought up Ron Howard movies.
But why hasn't it come
out? I don't know.
Out?
I think it must be tied up in legal somewhere. It was a Fox thing. I don't know.
Hey, Tom, I'm asking Tom. Tom, is this up on your on the fake Disney Plus up there? I'm asking.
It's funny. Somewhere I have the two DVD sets, Cocoon and Cocoon the Return, but yeah, I think the movie deserved a good Blu-ray. You could even put them both on one if you got to go cheap like that, but whatever. But where is that movie?
Yeah, let's do a quick rundown of idiots because we didn't get a chance to do anything last week.
Oh, yeah, man. April is full.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
So this week, we'll just kind of go quickly. This week, Being There is playing at 7:30 on Wednesday the 3rd. That one is solid. Harold and Kumar on Friday at 7 o'clock. Everybody's favorite Cronenberg movie, the good movie that's called Crash.
Right.
It's playing at 9:30, so it's running right. How's that for a pairing? Sit around, watch Harold and Kumar, then follow
Dude,
up
you
Crash.
Totally skipped over Tarkovsky's Stalker, which plays tomorrow night.
Well, I only skipped it because, I mean...
It's awesome.
I thought it was sold out.
No.
Oh, I thought it was sold out. Never mind,
That's a movie that's... I've never seen anybody screen it. I'm kind of sad that I can't go see it, but... Now
they're doing it proper. They're doing it in Russian with English subtitles and not doing that dumb fucking dub.
Not the dubbed version.
No.
No. I would expect nothing less from idiots. Wait, what's the next Saturday? Get Hercules.
Yep.
Which I've never seen.
Yeah.
But I do like all the people doing voices.
Yes.
The Rock, dude. God, I want to go see The Rock, but I just can't. I'm not going to be able to make that. It's too fucking, I mean, if it was daytime, if it was 4 okay. p.m., I would try, but like, I don't want to be in there. Getting there at 6:30.
This tough. Is Easter today. Okay.
Yes.
It's the 31st today. Yeah. Last night, the 30th, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that Speed was going to be playing at Vidiot's, and somebody recorded a video in the back of the theater. I know, gosh, assholes. But man, everybody just, it was a perfect crowd. There, you could see heads and sitting in every seat. That was going to be a screening that was definitely missed because the crowd was like, it was the video was the one where Sandra Bullock and Keanu get off the bus at the airport and slide on their platform.
Yeah.
But that whole thing, like the crowd just cheering with that, the score just kicks in just so hard that it's the triumphant score. It was so good. And you're like, oh, and knowing right after that, just like everything about Speed. And then what if this happens? And then what if this happens? There is no real chance to catch your breath on that movie. And then of course, after that, the plane blows up.
Ba-boom.
Boom. So yeah, The Rock on Saturday, Battle Royale the same night, right after this.
Yeah. And the next day you get Phantom Tollbooth.
Yep.
Barry Lyndon, if you need a nap.
Yes.
Terms of Endearment next Monday, a week from today.
Yeah.
If you need a good cry and, you know, if you need to touch all those emotions, Terms of Endearment is next Monday.
Yeah.
A movie I've never seen in a big screen, which I might kind of be interested, but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to make it. There's a lot of things here I'm just kind of blowing through. Indigo Girls, I think that's the doc, right?
Yeah.
RRR, triple R, if you will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rip Roar Revolt. Slam. This is a movie I never would have thought that anybody would screen. I remember when it came out. Interesting that you know, they're throwing this up next Friday.
Yeah.
Schenectady, New York. Charlie Kaufman's Schenectady, New York. Never seen it.
Yeah.
Weird. It has all the ingredients of things I should have seen, but I have not seen it.
Yeah.
You seen it?
Yeah, I have.
Good, bad, in between? I'm going to hate it, right? Most likely. I've never seen Her.
I haven't seen it in a really long time. No, Her is Spike Jonze.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like it's connected. Like it's one of those movies.
No, it's
like,
not.
It's not Kaufman at all? Charlie Kaufman has nothing to do with it? Okay, well, there you go. I just feel like there's a type of movie that like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll see Schenectady in New York, but not here. Maybe I'll watch it at home.
No. Yeah. Spike wrote and directed Her, but I know what you're saying. I get it. Let's just put it this way. I enjoyed it but I don't know. It's okay. It might be those ones I need to see again, but dude, I mean, fucking movie is 16 years old now.
What? Schenectady?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I remember it was, I remember when it came out, you know, and I had an interest in seeing it, I think, because Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it. I just never got around to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, post Seymour Hoffman, sometimes I just can't go back and revisit things. It bums me out too much.
Let's just close out that second week of April because Keanu's going to change.
Look, here's the thing, dude.
Don't go over. Yeah, Kiki's still, and delivery service is going to be on the matinee on Saturday the 13th.
Sure. Me jumping ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
But now Romero's Season of the Witch on Saturday the 13th and 9:45 is solid.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. I feel like this is a movie you kind of got to go see because who knows when it's ever going to be screened again.
Yeah.
It's one of my, you know, I don't want to say it's my favorite Romero, but it's pretty high up on the list.
It's challenging as in one of those movies too. Arkie, this is when... And that went to a time like when he was like this and Martin and Night of the Living Dead where, you know, Romero is
right
speaking to
crazies,
to society and the totally. Politics of it. Yeah. He was this is a deep cut Season of the Witch and it's not one that's talked about a lot when you talk about Romero. Obviously everybody goes to the Dead movies and that's, and the small, not smaller ones, but the, you know, one-offs here and there. But this is a window in time where he was his most indie and it's fucking, yep. I mean, I think Season of the Witch is tremendous. It's,
you know, I do too. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then we're rounding out that weekend with, Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
Matter of Life and Death.
Dude. And that's, dude, I'm so rather, again, who the fuck is showing this? Not even New Bev is showing A Matter of Life and Death.
Dude, yeah. David Niven, fucking yeah. height of his powers. Mm. And then we round out Sunday with Brian Donnelly's Saved with Jenna Malone in person.
Yeah. This movie was a Saved.
I love Saved, dude. Movies.
It's so fucking good. It's so good. And it's like, I know it's...
Pastor Skip, dude.
Yeah. I'll just leave it alone. It's a solid ass
just
movie.
Just leave it there. Go see it if you haven't seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, the cast is fucking lights out. And this is when Mandy Moore was like, where people are going, wait, Mandy Moore is an actress? This is, yeah.
She's kind of perfect for this, dude.
She's kind of perfect
for
this.
But I'm going to say, if you're going to see Kiki's Delivery Service, don't see it on the 13th. See it the following week, if you can, on Friday the 19th, because it's with subtitles. The other one's dubbed.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot to note that.
That's why I skipped it. That's why I skipped it.
We're trying to go too far ahead, but.
I know. I suck.
Because the reason being is from the second week, there's gaps, and we know there's going to have to fill in gaps.
Yeah, because you know what they already added for the end of the month.
Did they? Oh, I have to look. Well, because you took a screenshot and you're talking about, yeah.
Oh, it's not on here.
No, it's not. Yes. Oh my gosh, they already got some May stuff in there.
Yes.
Oh yeah, because we talked about Badlands. We mentioned Badlands already.
War of the Roses, dude, with DeVito.
Yeah.
For the 35th anniversary.
Yeah.
It's not even on here yet. I got to buy your tickets now.
There's stuff. I mean, this whole month of April at Vidiots is fucking solid. Dude, the whole month at Vista, if you haven't, again, I'll put a link to the Vista one. I'm not going to get into it now because there's some fucking rad stuff too. They're showing 70mm. They're Ghostbusters 70mm all weekend, but it's all over now. My friend Brent asked me, he's like going, why are they showing Ghostbusters at 10 a.m.? Who's up for that? I go, oh, but yeah, Easter morning, man. People have sunrise service. They have something to do after breakfast.
Sure.
And he goes, yeah, but they're doing it on Saturday too. I'm like, yeah, you know, think about this though.
It's a warm up for Easter.
I'm pretty sure the programmers between Vista and New Bev talk to each other because they don't want to cannibalize each other's, what they're doing because they're both owned by Quentin, and they know most people go one, they go to the other. Yeah. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Jeez.
So if you want to follow us on the socials, even after this.
If you still want to follow us.
It's at Karate Pod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. You can follow Corey on Letterboxd and Corey_Culp and on Instagram at Culper97. If you want some sports on Patreon, you can get those episodes early on Wednesdays before the general public by a couple of days. You can follow us there at patreon.com/karatepod.
If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me at rockandroller33 on your Instagram. You could follow me at Bernie LaPlante at letterboxd.com. Or you can follow me at The Real John Ladd at Blue Sky. That's The Real John Ladd at bluesky.com.